Madam Chairman and friends. We don't always realise, I think, that the way in which the ancient Indians, including the ancient Buddhists, saw the universe in which we live, but if you like, the way in which they imagined that universe was very different from the way in which we usually see it. So how did the ancient Indians, the ancient Buddhists, see the universe? What did they see? Well, first of all, they saw simply space. Nothing but space. Infinite space. This was the first thing that they saw. Just space. And then, as they looked longer, as they looked perhaps more deeply, they saw, diffused throughout space, throughout the infinity of space, air. And the air that they saw was blue air. So they saw, diffused throughout the infinity of space, in all directions, simply this blue air. And as they looked again, they saw within this air, within this blue air, two currents. Saw, in fact, what they sometimes described as two blue winds. Two blue winds moving in opposite directions, if you like, blowing in opposite directions. And these two blue winds formed, as it were, two crossed Vajras or Dorjes. And each of these Vajras or Dorjes was several, in fact many, millions of miles in length. So this is what they saw. And then, resting on those two vast crossed Vajras or Dorjes, they saw a vast mass of waters. And these waters formed a kind of flat disc. And on these waters, towards the edge of the disc, they saw floating the four dvipas, the four continents, or the four islands, each with its two subcontinents. And all four continents, and all eight subcontinents, had bases of solid gold. The eastern continent is the one called Videha. It's shaped like the crescent moon, and it's white in colour. The southern continent is called Jambudvipa, and it's shaped like the shoulder blade of a sheep, and is blue in colour. And this, Jambudvipa, is of course our own world, the world in which we live, the world of modern scientific geography. And according to the ancient Indians, the ancient Buddhists, Jambudvipa, our continent, our island, is the smallest of the four continents, only 7,000 miles in diameter, and its inhabitants, so the ancient Indians and the ancient Buddhists said, were rich and prosperous and performed both skillful and unskillful deeds. The western continent is called Gaudhanya. It's round in shape like the sun, and it's red in colour. The northern continent is called Uttarakuru, and it's square in shape and green in colour. So these are the four continents, the four islands, as seen by the ancient Indians, the ancient Buddhists. And right at the centre of the whole system, their stands, or if you like, their towers, Mount Meru, or Sumeru, and it towers 80,000 feet above the waters, and it extends 80,000 feet below them. And it has four faces, rather like a pyramid. And each face is made of some precious substance. According to some accounts, the eastern face is of silver, the southern face of lapis lazuli, the western face of ruby, and the northern face of gold. And surrounding Meru is an ocean, 80,000 miles wide and 80,000 miles deep. And surrounding this, there's a ring of golden mountains, 40,000 miles high and 40,000 miles wide. And surrounding this, there's an ocean of the same dimensions, and so on. Altogether, there are seven circular oceans and seven rings of golden mountains. And as one moves outwards, the dimensions of the oceans and the dimensions of the mountains diminish. Though, of course, the diameter of the circles which they form progressively increases. And the last ring of golden mountains is only 625 miles high and 625 miles wide. Outside this are the waters on which float the four continents and the four subcontinents. And the entire system is enclosed by a great iron wall. And the purpose of this great iron wall is to keep in, to shut in, if you like, the light of the sun and the moon and the stars. And this wall is said to be 312 and a half miles, or perhaps yojanas, in height, and more than 3.5 million miles, or yojanas, in circumference. And outside that great iron wall, there's only darkness until another universe is reached. And there are thousands and millions of such universes throughout space, according to the ancient Indians and the ancient Buddhists. Each universe has its own Meru, its own continents, its own mountains, its own oceans. It has its own sentient beings. It has its own Buddhas, its own enlightened beings. But to return to our own universe, Meru is divided horizontally into 8 tiers or 8 levels. There are 4 tiers or 4 levels below the waters and 4 above. And the 4 tiers below the waters contain the hells. These are occupied by various classes of tormented beings, suffering, experiencing the results of their unskillful actions. And the 4 tiers above the waters are inhabited by various classes of demigods. For instance, the yakshas, or sublime spirits, the nagas, the serpents or dragons, and so on. And on or near the summit of Meru, are the four great kings, also known as the four Lokapalas, or four protectors of the world, one for each of the four quarters. It's these four kings, or four world protectors, who are the protectors who, in chapter 6 of the Sutra of Golden Light, come forward and promise to protect the Sutra. So in tonight's lecture, we'll be trying to understand what these protectors of the Dharma represent, and also what is meant by protecting the Dharma.